Accession number 13360, Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 2.
I never forget that had Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 2. The training that you were given, you mentioned the 303 rifle, Major. Were there any other weapons introduced to your training at this stage?
No. Not that I can recall.
Field training, what form did that take?
Situations were spoken to us.
Yes.
Well, we went away from the barracks area into open country, and pictures were painted to us of different situations, and then, each cadet was given an opportunity to report his findings from each situation. A lot of them were mock situations, you know. And a lot of questions asked, you know, which were keep the brain alive.
Were the field situations still allied to First World War experience?
No, I don't think you could say that. It's a little very difficult for me to remember that because it's only lasted for about 3 months, this training.
Did it involve digging trenches?
No, I don't know. I was all in open ground. A lot of it was verbal questions, you see. It was really done through questions and answers.
Did you get involved with small activities such as an attacking and defending force, where you actually took charge of a group of people?
Yes, that is so, amongst yourselves, yes. There was nobody encouraged to be in an act for you, but amongst yourselves, yes.
The art of giving commands, how was that training given to you?
Yes, that's a very good question. It's a very difficult one to answer because basically you either are gifted with the ability to do it or you're not. And those I felt sorry for always are those who hadn't been given the ability to do it. So they got tongue tied and twisted and everything. I made a bit of a mess of it for themselves. But I was fortunate in being able to sort the wheat from the chaff and get away with it. So yes, it was no problem to me. As was given commands on the ordinary drill. I had to drill the whole octu at one time, which was a bit awesome, but once you got going, it's all right.
Did you have to experience gas precaution training?
not very seriously at that period of time. We carried gas masks, which were of the civilian type, weren't they? And a certain amount was written off each day, and that was that. And I don't think it wasn't taken too seriously. Well, because at that time there were gas was only a thing of the First World War and prohibited verbally in this war. So it wasn't taken very seriously. We did it because of it had to be done. But of course we all know that it became more serious and more necessary, although the Germans never really used gas, did they?
What form did it take? What did you have to do?
Just put it on, that's all. So I say, was only one gas mask we had was a civilian gas mask, wasn't it? You don't remember any other, do you? I can't think.
What was the food like coming into the army?
The food? It wasn't bad, no. Don't forget, I've been at boarding school. I've been used to it. A bit automatic, isn't it? Anybody went to boarding school, I'm prepared to accept any food. So, not real tests, I don't think. But you were hungry, you ate it, and that was that.
What kind of sports were you expected to follow and do?
Kind of?
Sport.
We didn't do any in training. Any sport? Oh, none at all. It was all concentrated on learning to be a soldier. Drill, rifle cleaning, thing made of it. It was considered daily exercise.
And was this first thing in the morning, PE? Or physical training, I should say.
I can't remember.
Did you receive much in the way of pay?
I don't remember that, but it's difficult. In case I'm wrong, that's the trouble. In case you get it wrong, if you don't remember it, you're apt to try to guess.
Yeah. Was it possible it was the same pay as an enlisted man, or was it a little bit more? Because you were an officer training.
No, same as an enlisted man, yes. And you had to deduct certain percentage deducted for this and that. It left you something under £1 a week, I suppose. But then I'm not sure.
Regimental pride and regimental practices, were they part of your training?
We were encouraged to think in those terms by lectures. On a sort of platoon basis. And taken by a senior officer. And they did their best to give us examples, which would help us think straight. But I didn't think there anything too specific about it.
Was there an emphasis in this that you were receiving that officers and gentlemen went together.
Yes, I think that must be admitted. At this stage, don't forget we were all ex-public school men at that time. Didn't continue like that, but at this particular stage, I think that must be accepted.
How long were you with this initial training unit?
What? With these artist rifles? As I said, we did 3 months plus of another month for shoveling snow at Shorncliffe.
When you moved from Shorncliffe, where did you go?
Well, see, this is where the offshoot business starts operating. We were invited to choose the regiment that we wished to serve with. And everybody had different ideas, obviously, and for different reasons. But I chose to join the Royal Sussex, because I'd been at school in Sussex, and a lot of my training, it was OTC training, and had a sort of Sussex flavour and about it. So I chose to go with the Royal Sussex. Then the next step was for somebody to arrange an interview with the applicant who wished to go to the Royal Sussex and others. And this took place. So we had some officers who were serving officers came down to interview the people who'd chosen to go to certain regiments. And I had, funnily enough, I had a fellow who was at school with me in Sussex, was an officer in the Royal Sussex. It was called a bit of a wangle, in as much as that it was a bit of an old boys' act, you see, brewing up, isn't it, at this time. So I said, oh yes, I've served, I'd like to serve with the Royal Sussex. Oh yes, no trouble at all. I'll speak to the colonel. Push your name forward, and that's no trouble at all. Consider yourself a prospective officer in the Royal Sussex. So we said, yes, with great delight. I never feel it. And so I had my wife on the phone. Or I got on the phone. It wasn't a phone in the thing, but I could use a phone at the pub next door, eh? And I said to her, well, I've been selected to join the Royal Sussex. Oh, that's marvellous. They promptly went and purchased Royal Sussex paraphernalia. It rested like that until the War Office issued their lists of commissions. And didn't we get a bloody shock? There wasn't hardly anybody who went to the regiment of his choice. And I was commissioned in the KSLI for my sins. Can't believe it. So that's all. The next I knew was I had to go to the barracks of the KSLI.
When was
in
this?
Shrewsbury.
When was this?
Well, this was only about, this was a 2 weeks after I was commissioned. I was given leave, and we had a tailor chap came and sorted us out with the necessary gear.
Would this be the spring of 1940?
Yeah, that's right. Spring of 1940. All this was before, just before Dunkirk. Dunkirk wasn't thought of, but the battle was brewing. So yes, I was commissioned in the KSLI. I got the message, and after 2 weeks of leave, I reported to the headquarters of KSLI, Copthorne Barracks. Oh, when I got up there, there were so many one-pip subalterns lining up there that it wasn't true. And nobody could believe their ears. So they were there were a lot of troops about as well. They couldn't accommodate them all in the Copthorne Barracks, so we were sent out to the Maltings, which were farm mill outside of Copthorne. And of the strength of about six officers for each platoon, we lined up in the Maltings. Absolutely ridiculous. So then the officer who was in charge of the Maltings was calling for volunteers. So he was trying to get rid of them. I never forget that. And he come in and say, "Well, there's a request for so and so to join the this or that regiment. Is there any volunteers to that?" Did he? And friend of mine, a fellow I got to know at Octu, said, "Well, don't volunteer for that, because," he said, "otherwise I can't go with you, because I'm on duty today." So I didn't. So I waited till he came back off duty, and we were asked again by somebody else. And there was then Dunkirk took place, and of course everybody wanted volunteers who had battle casualties, and of course DLI were one. Yes.
So following Dunkirk, there was a demand for officers right across the British Army that were involved. How did you get into the Durham Light Infantry?
Well, I guess the commanding officer at the barracks just came up and said, "So many officers report to DLI."
What were your feelings about that when you found that that's where you were going?
Well, no feelings really. All we were rather horror stricken because of Dunkirk. None of us quite understood the feeling that we should be defeated and chased out so much, so badly. So really the feeling was, anyway, to join up and reinforce and get ready to hit the bloody Germans as soon as we could. And
did you know of the DLI reputation, for example?
Not at that time. I didn't know. I didn't. That had to be learnt.
Had you been to Durham at all in your life?
No.
Did you know the area?
Never been. No, I know. I have never been.
So going farther away from your area of your experience didn't bother you?
No, no, it didn't really. No, it didn't.
How then did you move from where you were to Durham?
Well, I never moved to Durham at all. I took a draft of 250 Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. With I think about four other officers, and we marched all the way to Rugeley.
Where
in Staffordshire?
Where did you pick this draft up?
I'm saying, just about to tell you. Oh, the draft. They were Argyles, and we were detailed to take them. This was still in Rugeley, Staffordshire. No, I don't mean Staffordshire. This was at the headquarters of KSLI. There was this collection of people, because they hadn't had any fighting at all in KSLI. Anyway. I think it was about four other officers were detailed with me to take this draft of 250 Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders to Rugeley in Staffordshire. And we went there on foot. We marched there. And this was, I think, on the race course. In Rugeley, if I remember right. And we took them in and handed them over, because they weren't ours. And then we were detailed to go where we should go as an officer. I went to the 6th with... I can't remember my memory. John Jackson, that's right. John Jackson and I went to the 6th. And others went to the 8th and the 9th.
What was the mood of the Argyles and Sutherlands when you got them and were taking them to a regiment they didn't want to go to?
No, well, they weren't keen at all, no.
Did they let it, that feeling... were you aware of it?
Well, I don't feel that Dunkirk was on, and there was a war on, and you couldn't be petty about anything. You just had to put up with it. They would, of course, dearly love to have fought in a Scottish regiment, because they were Scots. But there wasn't to be. That's all you could say for them.
Did they settle?
Oh, well, yes, very well indeed, eventually. Very, very well. I'd say the whole of my intelligence section were Scots.
When you joined the 6th, they'd come through a pretty bad time.
The 6th.
From Dunkirk.
Yes.
They've been through a pretty bad time. Yeah. What was the morale of the battalion like, do you recall? They'd lost a lot of men.
Yes, they had, yes. That's true. And, of course, it wasn't an organized retreat, was it? There was all sorts of... men were sort of finding their way back, somehow or other.
Was the morale low?
There again, I can't say I'm in a position to say, because I didn't handle any men. All we did was assemble as officers. There was no drill or anything like that. You just assembled.
How did they receive you? Coming from the area of the country you were coming from, into a northeastern regiment.
Well, almost the first real understanding that we had was when we went down south and to Bridport, Dorset, and defended the coast of England. And everybody got rid of all their bias, and they'd be fighting for the same thing against the same foe, you know? That's the sort of quick sort of interpretation one had on it.
Who was commanding the battalion when you entered it?
Victor Yates, I think. Yes, I'm sure.
What kind of an officer did you find him?
Having said that, Sammy Battiscombe was knocking around there somewhere. Are we answering a question on...
Yates, Colonel Yates was, you said, in command of the battalion, although there's a great deal of confusion at that time.
Yes, there still is. There still is, I'm afraid.
You would meet Colonel Yates. What kind of an officer was he?
Oh, very elderly, and he was a very senior officer. You didn't have much conversation, if any, with the officer of his rank and standing. It was all done by the juniors, you know.
You would be joining officers who had just seen war through battles, the Battle of Arras, which the battalion was involved in. You were in effect green coming in. Were you anxious to learn from those what had happened and how they'd coped?
Not really. You see, again, we were never all together. We were always split up, like I was in companies. We never sort of got united as a battalion of officers and discussed anything. And that transpired all through the war until it was after the desert, really. It was always sort of small units, you know. We never got around to talking about a number of officers together.
Which company did you join, Major?
In Dorset.
At Rugeley, did they put you into a company at Rugeley?
No. And my earliest recollection, of course, are down in Dorset.
So you moved from Rugeley to Dorset. And which company were you in then?
Well, I wasn't with the company in Dorset. We were just an odd bod. We hadn't sort of been detailed, really, at that time. I'm not very clear about my Rugeley time. It was all a bit chaotic after Dunkirk, and I suppose one's mind was chaotic too. who wasn't learned to organize.
What was the battalion's role in Dorset when you moved there?
Defensive role of the coast. And the man who was in command, the colonel in chief, was Montgomery of that section. All, I think, stretched right the way from Essex right the way down. So Montgomery was I remember one too well, was.
Did you meet him? Did you see him?
Yes, I did. Yes. Okay, my memory is bad. Yes, I did see him, but I can't remember where.